We as believers are always under attack with compromise. Well, compromise, if you want a description, is the acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable. And someone once said, quote, compromise is simply changing the question to fit the answer. Isn't that good? Yeah. Compromise is simply changing the question to fit the answer. And so what we need to be careful, guys, is that we don't compromise our walks with God. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of In Christ and our Hope Restored series. Last time, we learned that leadership begins with integrity. Today, in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, we discover that one of the enemy's greatest weapons isn't force, it's deception. The enemy invites Nehemiah to the plain of Ono 4 different times, and his answer never changes. I am doing a great work and cannot come down. When invitations fail, they turn to rumors. When rumors fail, they use false prophecy. Everything is designed to create confusion, fear, and distraction. Yet, Nehemiah keeps his eyes on the mission instead of the manipulation. The enemy often tries to get us to abandon God's work by offering something that seems urgent, but isn't important. One of the greatest acts of spiritual maturity is learning to what to say no to, so you can faithfully say yes to God's calling. Have you allowed good opportunities, unnecessary conflicts, or other people's expectations to distract you from God's best for your life? Let's tune in with Pastor Ben from Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 in today's lesson, Smoke and Mirrors.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. It's the same MO because it works. But the reason I'm calling this message Smoke and Mirrors is because of the description. See, smoke and mirrors is a metaphor for a deceptive, fraudulent, or insubstantial explanation or description. The expression may have a connotation of skillfulness or cleverness in carrying out such a deception. Smoke and mirrors. You're like, oh, cool. So if you're taking notes, Sanballat and his friend will use 3 smoke and mirrors tactics. You go, what are they? Number one, in verses 1 to 4, you're going to see compromise. Compromise. The enemy wants to get us to compromise our walk. Number two, he can't use compromise. He's going to use slander. We see that in verses 5 through 9, slander. We'll just skip compromise. We'll go straight to slander. And last but not least, we're going to see from verses 10 to 14, we're going to see treachery. Those, again, are compromise, slander, and treachery. And right now, all of you are trying to process these things in your mind because you know exactly, again, that you might have faced one or two of them. Listen, when being attacked for the work of God, what the work of God is doing in your life right now, as he's building a foundation, as he's restoring, as he's growing you, I bet any one of us can point out any of these 3 things that the enemy uses to get us distracted. You go, what's that? Well, let's start with number one, compromise. Compromise. Starting out with Nehemiah chapter 6, 1 and 2 says this. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat Geshem sent to me saying, notice, here's the quote, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. Verses 1 and 2, think about what he's saying here. Okay? Since the progress on the wall had lessened the danger of attack, you go, how so? Now the wall's up. You can have somebody guard the gate until they're put up. And so it lessened that attack. And you're like, okay. Nehemiah's enemies tried to lure him to the plains of Ono. Now you're probably thinking, oh no, this is not good. And you're right. Ono, guys, Ono was 19 miles north of Jerusalem. It's the Valley of Ono, or the Plain of Ono. And so I got on my computer today and I said, hey, since we're going to Israel, are we close to Ono? Do we see Ono? Well, the Plain of Ono mentioned in the Bible is no longer recognized in the geographical location. But a modern identification of the biblical Ono is associated with the Palestinian village called Kafr Ana. And that's kind of where they think it is, which is part of the city of Lod. So I can't sit there and go, oh, I want to go see where they're trying to get them, because it's no longer in the plains of Ono. But listen, if Nehemiah would listen and he would travel to the plains of Ono, everybody say Ono, they could easily, listen, assassinate him out there, or when he's gone, attack Jerusalem. Are you guys walking with me? Are you tracking with this? You go, okay, well, let's break it down, man. Let's unpack this thing. Let's see what's going on. Well, here are these guys. Hey, Nehemiah, come here. Let's meet. Let's meet in the villages in the plains of, come on down, man. See, at this time, Sanballat, Geshem, well, they're trying to arrange a meeting. And by appearances, right, by all intents and purposes, we would think, hey, this is a friendly, maybe they just want to, I don't know. Maybe there's some, we want a reconciliation, or maybe you need a vacation. But what do you think, Nehemiah? Are you tired? You burned out? Come on down. Listen, we've got a luxury spa in the plains of Ono. You can rest. You can take some time. Listen, you've been busy. I know. And leading people and all this stuff. The invitation might have had this slant come take a few breaks, break for a few days and rest. Let's get some relaxation. Been working hard. But Nehemiah has the discernment of the Holy Spirit, because he writes, but they thought to do me harm. They thought to do me. That's discernment from the Lord. Nehemiah, through the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to me, guys, is equipped to see through these outward appearances to understand what Sanballat's friendly offer was all about. You go, well, Ben, how do we apply this? We need to have that ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. When dealing with people, to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to pray through things, to see. You go, well, Pastor Ben, nobody's really calling me into the plains of Ono to do me harm. But listen, the enemy doesn't want to maybe do you physical harm, but he wants to do you spiritual harm. He wants to pull you out of your place, out of the place of where you're growing, out of the place of where you're walking. He wants to pull you out. He wants to get you in a vulnerable place so that he can take your walk back a few notches. Oh. But Nehemiah sees through that. He goes, man, they just want to harm me. These guys are not my friends. I don't need relax. And if I was going to relax, if I was going to go on vacation, it's not into the plains of Ono. It's going to be in Florida. Okay. I'm just telling you right now. That's really what he's saying. But think about this, guys, because I found a quote from Pastor Alan Redpath that I think fits really good concerning this verse. He says, quote, whether you be a pastor, teacher, evangelist, Sunday school leader, or whatever position may be in the Christian leadership, let me say that there will always be those who are friendly to your face, but who plan your downfall behind your back. Beware of fawning, flattering Christian who is always fluttering around you and who behind your back will be the first to rejoice when you go down. End quote. Great wisdom from Pastor Alan Redpath, just thinking about this. The thing about it is really simple. Sanballat, Tobiah, they were never Nehemiah's friends. They were always the outside opposition. But I think there's wisdom in saying that we have to be careful, Christian, with those who are always singing your praise, but are ready to see you fall flat on your face. and why we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3 says, "So I sent messengers to them, saying, 'I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Well, I leave it and go down to you.' But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner." Guys, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Nehemiah was equipped with discernment. Discernment. You go, "Yeah, Ben, you said that, but let me break it down even a little bit more." Why? Because discernment is the ability to judge matters according to God's view of them, not according to their outward appearance. We are deceived by outward appearance. You don't know how many people who have come to this church from other Calvary chapels that once they get here, they realize it's not their Calvary chapel. It's not as big as their Calvary chapel. And they leave. They don't ever come back. And you would think, "Oh, well, we've been looking for a Calvary chapel. We're so glad we found. We prayed and we've been in Lubbock and we find a Calvary." And they come here and they go, "Is this it? Is it just y'all?" "It's just us." "Oh, okay, well, we'll be back next week." "Well, where did you come from?" "Well, we came from Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale." "Oh, yeah, the 20,000 member church. I got it." And again, discernment. The discernment for us is we're not deceived by outward appearances. 1 Samuel 16:7. You guys know that. You know this. It says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." How many of us had gotten burned by people that we really thought were genuine and sincere? You're like, we all have. Yeah. And we pray for discernment. We pray, "Lord, give me discernment." But there are times when the Lord just, "Okay, I really thought, listen, doing God's work, I'd rather get burned doing God's work, doing God's will, than so be so closed off that it's like, nope, 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 nope. Lord, just show me. Just show me." Here's why. Listen, fruit is easily discerned if you look at someone's life. It really is fruit. It was Pastor David Guzik who writes, "Many people confuse being discerning with being negative or cynical. But discernment is just as able to see the good where others might miss it as it's seeing the bad where others might see good according to the outward appearance," end quote. So it's both. It's both. I love to tease Adam because Adam sees the good in everything. And I say, "Adam, I just love, you just see the good." And I told him if he was left behind in the tribulation, he would find some good in that, you know? "Adam, if you were left, you'd be like, yeah, maybe God just left me here to minister and share the gospel." And he didn't like that. I told him he was going to be left behind. But nonetheless, he has that. But I like what David says. See, it's not always being negative. No. Discernment sees the good as well as the bad and not just looks at the outward appearance. Nehemiah looks at this letter and he says, "Well, why should the work cease while I leave it here and go down to you?" You see what Nehemiah is doing, man? He's using discernment. And he'll not only escape their trap by it, but it won't even be distracted by the work. It won't even be distracted. He's not going, "Oh man." He's like, "No, you know what? I'm good. I'm good." And you go, "Well, what are they trying to do?" If you're taking note, they're trying to compromise, guys. They're trying to get him to compromise, to leave the work, to put it on hold. "Hey guys, hey, listen, I'm gonna go do this. Now, before we move on, let's talk just a little bit about compromise." We as believers are always under attack with compromise. You go, "Okay, well, but Ben, explain it to me. Compromise." Well, compromise, if you want a description, is the acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable. And someone once said, quote, "Compromise is simply changing the question to fit the answer." Isn't that good? Yeah. Compromise is simply changing the question to fit the answer. And so what we need to be careful, guys, is that we don't compromise our walks with God. Do you remember the snake in the garden? Genesis chapter 3. What did he say? Did God really say? Right? Didn't God? And I mean, it's kind of really simple when you think about it, because the other day I saw a meme that the snake was tempting Eve and said, if you'll eat this fruit, you will be like God. Where Eve should have said, well, if that's the case, you eat it. Because isn't that what Satan wanted to be? Like God? Don't compromise. You go, why? To the Christian, compromise is the death blow. And many people don't see it coming. Tactic number two, slander. Jot this down, slander. Verse 5. Then Sanballat didn't get any response. 4 times, nope. He sent his servant before me the 5th time. But this time he had an open letter in his hand. Guys, one of the things that we can label Sanballat is super tenacious, isn't he? He's not stopping. 5 times, come on down. 5 times, you're the next contestant on the prize, right? Come on down. This is what he's saying, and he wouldn't go. He wouldn't go to the plains of Ono. He would say no. And so what happens? Listen to me. When you and I take a stand and we don't compromise, the enemy's tactics change. Okay, we didn't compromise. So what does he do? He's going to go to slander. He's going to go to slander. So he comes with this letter, and in this letter it's written, verse 6, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king, and have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king, so come, therefore, and let us consult together. So the enemy failed to draw Nehemiah outside of Jerusalem. He said, I'm working, man. The work's got to go. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this nonsense. So Sanballat reverts to what? To slander. Sends an open letter. An open letter back in the day was either posted or read publicly, accusing Nehemiah of rebelling and wanting to be king. Not much has changed today with social media. They're always an open letter. And what we do is we look at the open letter and then we'll read the comments. Is it true? Is it not true? I don't believe. But this is their open letter. This is their Facebook. This is it, their Instagram, right? This is what he does. He's trying to slander them through social media. And Sanballat's slander began with many verbal attacks due as a report of what others have reportedly said. Go back and look real quick. It was written, it's reported among the nations, and then he throws his friend under the bus. He goes, and Geshem says, right? This is what I heard. Let me stop you right there, because that's how slander starts, with rumors. And it's rumors that we need to squelch. You ready? If somebody comes and they say, oh, I've got to tell you something. Ooh, I've got some juicy gossip. You know what you say? Can I quote you? Can I quote you on that? Oh, well, no. I mean, I don't know for sure. Well, why are you spreading that? When it comes to slander, when it comes to somebody going, hey, I let me let you on some stuff. Here's what you say. Ready? Am I part of the problem? Am I part of the solution? No? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear this. This is wrong. This is wrong. Because here's what Nehemiah is saying. He's saying, listen, it started with verbal attacks. This is what others are saying. And oftentimes slander comes in lies. You go, lies? Yeah. Note with me the 3 lies that Sanballat is proclaiming. Number one, the Jews plan to rebel. Lie. They never planned to. They're building their wall. They want to worship God. Number two, Nehemiah wants to be king. No, he doesn't. He's under the authority of his king. As a matter of fact, do you remember? He was so sick that the king's like, dude, what's going on? And he's like, man, you don't want to know. He was so much under that authority that he wasn't going to do anything until he had permission from his king. And then they say, you know what? You know what I heard? I heard you're going to appoint prophets to proclaim it. These are three lies. I wonder if Nehemiah was outraged when he heard these lies. Oh, just like we are when people talk lies about us. You see, he had worked hard and he trusted God greatly. So this work would be done with the blessing of the king. And he had embraced, think about this, great personal sacrifice to demonstrate that he was not in it for him. So what's in it for me, man? I'm going to build the wall because, you know, and he's walking around. I don't know why this is just in my, you know, it's the Lion King where he's like, oh, I just can't wait to be. That's not Nehemiah. He's not walking around going, man, let's build it because I want to be. That's not him. That's never been him. Now listen, let's take it a little bit deeper. Compromise that moves us to do something is never for our own benefit. Come on, somebody. It's never for our own benefit. Oh, okay, well, let's see. What do I get out of it? Listen, Elizabeth, if I do this for you, what do I get out of it? If I'm going to bless you, what do I? That's not compassion. Nehemiah goes, no. The heart of God? Oh, guys, you got to even think about the heart of God. When he blesses you, God's not going, well, what do I get out of it? God goes, I love you. I want to bless you. Well, Lord, you know what a natural response is? Praise. Lord, you're so awesome. You're so good. You're so good. See, Nehemiah here would never dream of going to rent a prophet. Now he's accused of the very thing that he's worked hard not to do. So what does Nehemiah do? Verse 8. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Your attention, please, for just a minute. Doesn't that remind you of Jesus, where they couldn't get anything against him? They had to find liars to come and say, well, what do we have against him? Well, we can't agree. And again, these guys at Jesus' trial had to invent. So, oh, yeah. You know what I heard? I heard he was going to tear down the temple and build it in three. They're making up stuff. And this is what Nehemiah says. He says, man, these things you're inventing in your own heart. And then he looks at us and he says, for they are all trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work and it will be done. Now, therefore, he says, oh God, strengthen my hands. I love Nehemiah's reply. He goes, here's what I text back. Let's just go there. Here's what I replied on Facebook. There's nothing to what you're saying. You've made it all up. This is what he's saying. Now, before we talk about what he's turned to his people, there was something today that caught my heart about slander that broke my heart. A 17-year-old kid got caught up and the girl asked for pictures of himself. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so he took pictures and he sent it. It wasn't another girl. It was a group of people who were extorting him for money. And guess what he did? And I thought that broke my heart because there's enemies out there who want to slander, who want to say this, and this. And these guys mean business. They're coming and they're saying some pretty awful stuff, and Nehemiah's not taking it. He's saying, what you're saying? It's all lies. It's all lies. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.